Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Well, first there was the Human Genome Project that mapped all the genes in our bodies. Now it's the human metabolome. And the honor for completing that goes to Dr. David Wishart and his team of researchers at the University of Alberta. And the recent InnoWest conference looked at ways to close the innovation gap in Canada. Peter Josty and Peter Hackett give their views on the subject. And Rick Toffany introduces the new applied research program in manufacturing at Red Deer College. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Using nuclear magnetic resonance, Dr. David Wishart and his colleagues from the University of Alberta and other institutions around the world have finally identified all the chemicals or metabolites in the human body. It's taken over 100 years to reach this milestone, but it's an event as significant to modern medicine as the mapping of the human genome.
What we've done is we've been able to essentially get the ingredients of life. I think a close parallel would be if the genome is the blueprint of life, the metabolome represents the ingredients of life. So we now have a list of all the things that represent sort of the bricks and mortar of our bodies.
How big is that list?
There are now about 2,500 chemicals that seem to be part of everyone's bodies. We've also got, I've identified about 1,500 drugs that people can take. Hopefully not someone, no one's taking all of them at the same time, but we've also been able to track down information on about 3,900 food additives or chemicals that are added to foods.
Have you been able to make the relationships then between these metabolites and what effect that has on the body or the diseases, the signs that we would take from it?
Now, that's a very good point. So what we've collected is not just a list of names, but actually a list of the chemicals and their relationships to different diseases, the concentrations of these metabolites in different tissues or fluids in the body. And we've also associated each of these metabolites with genes and proteins. Often genes and proteins need certain chemicals, cofactors, vitamins to function, or the genes and proteins act on these metabolites to change them into something useful that the body needs. So we've collected all of that information and put it into these databases.
Now, you also mentioned, by the way, that you found that we have about a kilogram of bacteria in our bodies, and that is actually affecting the metabolites.
That's right. I think we often forget that we wouldn't be alive if we didn't have bacteria. Bacteria are absolutely critical for us to be able to digest our food. If we were to lose all the bacteria in our body, we would die. And so you can consider bacteria, that kilogram of bacteria, to be an essential organ, just like the heart or the lungs. But those bacteria need to live, and they need to be able to eat, and it turns out they actually help us eat. So they help digest foods. They provide certain vitamins that our bodies need. They live in a very symbiotic relationship, is what it's called. But they also produce their own unique metabolites and then their own unique signatures. And they change in part with the food we eat and our lifestyle and our age. They are very much part of our body and part of our metabolome.
What other applications might this have?
So the work on the human metabolome isn't just restricted to humans. The ideas and the concepts can be applied to many other organisms, agriculturally important organisms like cattle or pigs or sheep. It could also be applied to plants, canola and corn and wheat. Each organism has a unique metabolome, just like each organism has a unique genome. But it will allow us to start perhaps improving agricultural practices, improving aquaculture, improving veterinary practices. It also has, I think, very distinct applications in the field of nutritional science and the areas of nutrigenomics. So many of the same technologies, ideas, concepts that were developed for this project can directly be applied to figuring out what foods are good for us, which foods are bad, which ones can be changed or adjusted, how they affect our genes and our health. And I think this could launch, I think, a very exciting new era in nutritional studies and bioproducts.
Thank you very much, David.
Thanks, Cheryl.
That was Dr. David Wishart, a professor of computing and biological sciences at the University of Alberta. He's the lead scientist on the Human Metabolome Project. This is supported in part by the Alberta Ingenuity Centre for Machine Learning and Genome Alberta. Earlier this winter, the Center for Innovation Studies, or THESIS, hosted the InnoWest Conference in Edmonton. Over 150 people from across the western provinces came together to discuss what they perceive as the innovation gap, the middle ground between research and commercialization of new technology. Dr. Peter Josty is the force behind InnoWest and THESIS.
Cheryl, this is the third InnoWest conference we've put on, and the purpose of all of these conferences is to bring together people from across Western Canada to realize that we have some common issues to deal with respect to innovation, because the economies in Western Canada are all based, largely based on the resource sector. We have relatively small populations a long way from markets, and we have a common desire to get away from the sort of commodity-based economies that we've been living with for such a long time. The specific theme of InnoWest 2006 is Western Canada competing globally. So we're trying to have all of the sessions here talk on international topics, to try and make sure that we realize that when we're talking about Western Canada, we're really operating in a global economy and in a global innovation system. And what we really want to do is focus this on this conference, the fact that it's very much an international, there's an international dimension to innovation. It's not just what we do in our own backyard, it's how we deal with the customers around the world.
Just judging from the discussion that I sat in on this morning, you actually had a very impressive list of panelists and participants, like the heads of ICOR, of the Alberta Research Council, of PRECARN and Alberta Ingenuity. And the question they were addressing was this innovation gap. What do you see as being the innovation gap?
The answer that I would give is that we've got a gap between two things. On the one hand, we invest very significant amounts of public money in research and development. So we've got a lot of money going into generating knowledge of something. And on the other side of the equation, we've got a very, very limited pool of companies who have the capacity to turn this knowledge into some useful product or process or service, which is what generates economic value. So I would see as the innovation gap as being sort of the separation between the production of knowledge on the one hand and the capacity of companies to turn that knowledge into a useful product on the other hand. There's a very interesting shorthand definition of innovation that I heard the other day, and the definition goes as follows, that research is converting dollars into knowledge, and innovation is converting knowledge into dollars. So what we're really trying to do here in the innovation gap is we've got a gap between converting the knowledge that we're generating in the province into economic wealth in the province.
One of the things that you're also going to be dealing with at this conference is a discussion that came out of a Banff summit. What do you see out of this consensus document that would be the most immediate and most practical suggestion that we could follow?
The Innovation Summit focused a lot on the resource sector, because the resource sector is the elephant in the room. When you think about the economy, and whether it's Alberta, BC, Saskatchewan, or Manitoba, resource sector is the biggest game in town. So the question is, how can you leverage the resource sector to help innovation?
how do you take this then and apply it to what's being discussed at this conference to help the Western provinces find their way onto the global stage when it comes to dealing with all the competition on the innovation front?
Well, short answer is two things. The first thing is we need to develop a vision and leadership for this, because we've talked before about the role of the public sector, the role of the private sector, and I think to get people saying loudly that this is important and this is what we need to do more of, I think that's one of the early steps. The second thing is to creating more of a culture of innovation in Alberta and in Western Canada, such that we are more used to trying experiments. We don't want to penalize people who fail, and we want to generally encourage people to have more initiative rather than sort of following the pack.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Peter Josty, Executive Director of Thesis, the Center for Innovation Studies, and the organizer of the recent InnoWest Conference in Edmonton. Among the participants at InnoWest 2006 was Dr. Peter Hackett, President and CEO of Alberta Ingenuity. This is a $1 billion endowment fund created by the Government of Alberta to support innovation in science and engineering. However, when it comes to talk about the innovation gap, Peter Hackett suggests we're focusing too much on the wrong area.
In my view, yes. But that's because when I look at, let's say, Silicon Valley, or if I look at I-90 around Boston, I see nothing but dynamic companies and dynamic research institutions, and not too many folks concerned with any gap. Gap seems to be a problem that we've created for ourselves in Canada, and I'm not sure that we should invest a lot of time thinking about it, but rather we should be thinking about how to make our institutions really world-class and how to make our companies really world-class. And then I think there won't be a gap anymore.
So in that sense, is that where your notion of helping to develop this innovation culture, where that comes in?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. And you can take that further and talk about Alberta having a culture of, kind of pioneers and entrepreneurs and risk takers. And you can talk about the need to build a culture in Alberta that's very aware of science and where it's going. That's such an important thing. I think science is the language that unifies everyone around the world, and we've got to be, and it's the thing that's changing our society every day, challenging it, and we've got to be fluent and participating right at the frontier, and it's science, research, and companies. Get those things right, the rest will happen.
One of the ways that you're doing that, though, is giving out very substantial grants to support the research. Perhaps you could tell me a little bit about some of the different levels.
Yeah, so we've looked at that research side, and we've kind of looked at the way our researchers are supported in Canada, and it's not a very pretty sight. Basically, in Canada, and I'm painting with a very broad brush, we support everybody across the spectrum and give them all a little bit of money to do a little bit of work, and they all become dependent on the act of receiving and getting money. And they don't really have the freedom to be creative and do the really big things. And that's because we're very democratic in this country. That's, again, a big generalization. So we don't want to go into that space. Rather, we want to say, who's got really big ideas and how can we help a few people, really top people, bring those big ideas out and, to be the first to do that. That's a big thing in innovating, is to be first. And that's a reason. That's really the only reason companies will come talk to you, if you are the one to have done it first. And that takes money and investment over time. So we do that through the centers program currently. We have 5 centers. And what we're doing is giving a few researchers $2 million a year for 5 years to see if they can achieve a big goal. We have one in oil sands in situ energy upgrading, another in water, very important in Alberta, carbohydrate science, vaccines for people and animals, machine learning, teaching machines to think, and we're about to launch a new one in oil sands innovation. So that's one level, but we're thinking about going beyond that. When you think about, you know, who's really great in the world in this kind of a game, you think of things like Stanford University that's got 20 Nobel Prize winners, I think, or the Max Planck Institutes in Germany that have got, I think it's 30 Nobel Prize winners since 1918. So you have to say, well, what are they doing, right? And how do they do that? And what we found is that they make big bets on important areas, and they do it in advance of those being obvious. So we think Alberta's rich enough to do that, and we'd like to be in that kind of game. And for the while, we're working through how we would do that. And we're calling it the Ingenuity Accelerators. And we're saying, well, maybe Ingenuity could invest $10 million a year for 5 or 10 years, do you know? And we need to have others who see that goal being important invest at the same time as us. So, you know, maybe we could double that $10 million a year and get, you know, over 5 years, $100 million invested to give us a chance to do something really big and significant.
How would you decide on what those really big and significant things are?
Right. Well, to begin with, it is a bet, you know. So, I mean, at a very simple level, we figure if you make five big bets, you have a chance to win, right? But how would we decide is an important question. So it's got to be something that we can see coupling to Alberta's sustainable economic imperatives. You know, it's got to make a difference here in Alberta. The way science is today, it's got to be interdisciplinary because it's, you know, the other areas have been explored, and it's in the interdisciplinary areas that the new exciting things are happening. So the institutions have got to figure out how to use this money to advance an interdisciplinary area. So it's going to be a challenge for them. It's got to be able to recruit to Alberta the very, very best people. And it's got to be able to train in Alberta the people in these interdisciplinary areas so that they can make a difference back in Alberta society. And one of the important determinants is the one I just said, is that someone else has got to think it's so important that they're prepared to invest too. And that's going to willow out from the many good ideas those that would be the ones that we'd invest in first. So we're looking for co-investors.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks.
That was Dr. Peter Hackett, President and CEO of Alberta Ingenuity. He participated in a panel discussion at the recent InnoWest conference in Edmonton. Research has generally been the territory of universities, but now colleges around Alberta have decided they want in on the action. One of those is Red Deer College. Situated in central Alberta, the college lies in the heartland of Alberta's agriculture and energy activity, and it's undergoing a major expansion of facilities and programs. Rick Toffany is the new Director of Applied Research and Innovation at Red Deer College.
Well, as it turns out, we have approximately 220 metal bashers in the Red Deer area as we talk to them affectionately of them. The key is to work with these companies to help them produce new products, new technologies for the industries in which they work. Surveys that have been done in the region indicate that prototype development, solving technology issues within the company, management expertise, and marketing and business plan development are four of the key items that these SMEs suffer from, or lack thereof. And when we push that right across the country, those four things with SMEs tend to keep resurfacing. And Red Deer has been in an interesting position for the past 150 years. It's stuck between Edmonton and Calgary. And so as Red Deer has begun to grow in the last 10 years, we begin to find a lot of companies saying, we can't find this, we can't find this, we don't want to go to Edmonton and Calgary. So the expansion of the college is, in fact, beginning to fill a very nice niche market opportunity for the region that's growing. It's a manufacturing base that's growing the region. There's very little manufacturing and technology at Red Deer College, and you know that the educational institution in your region is generally the feeder to the companies. So we're not feeding manufacturing or industrial people into a growing industrial base. So either they're not going to grow, or they're going way outside the region to get the people they need. So the fit for the college right now and this whole applied research thing is really just at the stage where it's ready to burst open and say, come and help us. And that's really what we're finding.
Is this mainly then the service industry for energy exploration and development or agriculture?
In Red Deer, we're twofold, really. It's a very strong agricultural industry, a lot of primary food manufacturing with Olimel and companies like that. There's a lot of distribution for grains and canolas and wheats and permalexes there with the ethanol plant. And then, yes, a lot of oil and gas-related service and equipment companies and some ag equipment companies as well. And as these companies have now grown from their 2 and 3 employee stage that they were at for many years, and they're into the 50 and 60 employees, they're starting to run into situations that lend themselves very nicely to an educational institution that should be there and prepared to work with them. And that's the role that we see for ourselves.
When do you expect to see the first thing rolling off the line?
Well, actually, right now we're already doing projects. We have a very strong health sciences group led by Dr. Scott Oddy. Scott's been doing some tremendously fascinating work in polypharmacy and just really developing some interesting and proving some hypotheses correct around multiple drug interactions in elderly people. And we haven't quite figured out what the commercial aspect of this is yet, but I can bet you that as important as it seems, there's going to be a major impact on doctors or pharmacists as the study continues. We're doing work, as you may be aware, in biofuels. We have an inventor on site who's developed his own little home-based unit. We're in the process of doing some protecting of intellectual property there and working with Olds College, in fact, and Lakeland College on getting a biofuels fleet out there from the colleges. No discovery there, but what I think is a very important aspect of our business, which is public demonstration and education on these new types of opportunities. It's just a matter of time before the first great invention comes out of Red Deer College. We've already had in 10 months' time, two what I would call significant disclosures of intellectual property, where there had never been a mechanism for these people to disclose their IP to, and one of them is in nanomaterials, and so who to thunk of it at Red Deer College, but that's the kind of people we're hiring these days, and it's a really good start.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Oh, thanks, Cheryl.
That was Rick Toffany, the Director of Applied Research and Innovation at Red Deer College. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our e-newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by Alberta Ingenuity, Alberta Advanced Education and Technology, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Conservation Association, Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, Alberta Gaming Research Institute, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, and the NSERC Industrial Chair in Integrated Landscape Management. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Crocher.